This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
No. Ooh, I love this voice. I wish I could talk like this all the time. Okay, let's do this. Hello, and welcome to the most frightening podcast ever, Ontario This Week. This is our special post-Halloween podcast, where I'm calling back from the dead all of the ghoulish highlights from Ottawa Morning, Ontario Today, and All in a Day. I think we've done enough scary voice reverb. Why don't we just go back to normal now? How's that? Oh, much better. Great. There we go. All right, coming up, forget Christmas, Easter, and Canada Day. Ottawa's pumpkin pervert comes home every year to celebrate October 31st. He was trapped in a haunted theater but lived to tell the tale. We'll hear one true ghost story that will surely make your skin prickle. And finally, before the kids dig into their Halloween treats, maybe they should get their sugar booty x-rayed. That's all coming up on Ontario This Week. On Halloween night, I walked up to a house in my neighborhood that was drenched in orange goo. You know, loads of pumpkins were carved with grimaces and frowns. They were stacked one on top of the other in three totem poles of pain. I mean, it was amazing. Now, this elaborate display came about at the hands of the Mercer family, who every year go whole hog on Halloween. And often, the one leading the charge is Jeremy Mercer, who makes a special trip from his home in France for this one-day celebration. All in a Day guest host Stu Mills visited Jeremy and the rest of the Mercer family hours before All Hallows Eve.
Imagine if you're walking down trick-or-treating and you pass a house and there's a 15-foot-high stack of pumpkins glowing at you. I mean, that's majestic, no?
It's a powerful scene, for sure. And they're all illuminated by
candles? That's tall. How tall is that?
That's 15 feet, isn't it? This is 6. Yeah, that's 14 to 15 feet high. Yeah.
A basketball net and a half.
Absolutely, yeah. That's majestic.
What about the lower pumpkins? Won't they be crushed?
You're going to get them braced a bit by the pole, but I'm really concerned. Yeah, the structural integrity of the lower pumpkins is very important. And I'm worried, if worse comes to worse, watch this, what I'm going to do. I'm going to put we can put dowels in times on to help alleviate the weight on the lower pumpkins. Or I might put a little ledge here, a hidden ledge, so you only have 8 or 9 pumpkins weighing on the bottom pumpkin.
Okay, but there are those lobbying from within the house to go for ground coverage rather than vertical height.
What it is, it's a classic debate, you know, the quantity versus quality. I just want a big tower of pumpkins. And my girlfriend, she's doing like wings and halos. And my mom is doing like really ornate pumpkins, which I admire. But I think it's about, you know, big, powerful tower of pumpkins.
Why Halloween? What's the big deal?
It's always been my favorite holiday. I like it. I mean, my mom always had me up as a Wolverine one year. I was always great costumes. And, you know, it's a really good memory associations because it's always candy and trick-or-treating and adventure. And, I mean, Christmas is pretty loaded with, you know, Christian symbolism and a lot of guilt around our giving presents, getting presents. And a lot of holidays are like that. But I think Halloween is one of the few holidays that's absolutely just joy and there's no connotations, no religious connotations, you give 2-cent pieces of candy or 5-cent pieces of candy. There's no real capitalist kind of money thing. Mm. And it's a great adventure. And it's the most beautiful time of year in Canada.
Okay, so if you get your wish and you get a tower of 15 feet high pumpkins.
It's going to happen. It's got to happen.
Conditions out, fine. Happening.
Yeah.
How many pumpkins does that represent?
Well, I did the math, and I think it's 13, which I kind of like. It's a good number. It's a lucky number.
You've got 24 hours or so before.
Oh, yeah.
Light falls tomorrow.
Come in. I've got a whole team. I brought my girlfriend. My girlfriend's never celebrated Halloween. Okay. So she's very excited. I sold her on the whole idea, and she flew over just for Halloween. So she's helping, doing her pumpkin.
She's French from France,
yeah.
Where there's no Halloween.
There is no Halloween in France. Little boys and girls, you must be very grateful you live in Canada where we have Halloween, yeah. See, that's my girlfriend, Geraldine, who's never celebrated Halloween. Hello. And I'm not the only freak in the family. Come.
So how many pumpkins are in the house now under different stages of preparation?
Well, we've got 25 pumpkins now, and we're preparing to get more. But as you see, so I had my majestic idea, but my mom, you know, she goes into things pretty deeply too. She went on the internet and printed out all these carving faces, and she's replicating the carving faces. So again, it's investing more time per pumpkin, whereas I'm just going to be very art-naive pumpkins going up high.
Geraldine, what do you think of your boyfriend's ambitions, all of these pumpkins?
Completely surprising. I think he's crazy, that's all. And I don't know what this country make with the pumpkins, but I think it's for eating, not for a party like that, but it's funny.
Had you ever carved a pumpkin before today?
Never. No, never. It's my first one.
And how's it going?
Yes, this one is angry, very angry, this one. And the one on the top will be very joyful.
Do you get an opportunity to get feedback from your neighbors about what you're putting on your front yard?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get a nucleus of really good Halloween displays here, because there's a lot of houses competing for kids, and so you got to get a lot of bright lights out. And in our little cluster here, we have 6 or 7 people who invest a lot of time and thought into their displays, enough so we have like a lot of light and we draw the kids. Because we're disadvantaged here on the street, because we have 2 schools right next to us. So I think a lot of kids are reluctant to walk 300, 400 feet past the schools because there's a dead trick-or-treating zones, you know what I mean? You miss outdoor opportunities.
Okay.
So we try to create a big nucleus of light here to draw kids. And my mother erects a 20-foot branch off the balcony with lights hanging from it. Again, it's moth psychology.
Jeremy, what's it like when all the pumpkins are in place, your vision has been realized, and kids start showing up at your door? That must be the moment of truth.
The brilliant moment is about like 4:30, 4:45. Everyone's done. It's all installed. And we're all sitting around the table waiting for the first doorbell to ring. And then you're just anticipating.
Because those are the tots and the tykes, the little guys.
And, you know, they have some of the best costumes. I mean, by the end of the night when it's teenagers with their scream masks. I mean, I'm not disparaging any costume, but I prefer the little kids in cute costumes. We invest in their pumpkin display. It's nice if the kids invest in their his spirit and all that, yeah. Part of you wants to be here to greet all the kids coming in and see all the costumes, but also you want to walk around and see the other displays, and you really want to be in 2 or 3 different places all Halloween night long.
What happens November 1st?
Well, I mean, there's always a bit of a letdown, you know. And right now, can I honestly tell you the truth? Right now, I'm beginning to already feel pressure for 2008. I can't, because this is going to be such a spectacular display. I don't know how I can do it again next year. I don't know how it can get better. But it will get better, I mean, I assure you. But already I feel anxiety.
What happens to all the guts and seeds of the pumpkins?
Oh, well, we're taking them up to the cottage because deers love pumpkins. And so we're taking up the cottage. We're going to load up the car and dump it all. But yeah, so we're going to go feed the deer. Yeah. And we're going to make a pumpkin. She's never had pumpkin seeds. So we're going to roast some pumpkin seeds, yeah.
Well, okay, I want to leave you alone because you've got a long day in front of you, but I do say good luck to you, and I hope it all works out well.
Okay, and if you're in the neighborhood on Wednesday night, you have to come by. It's going to be majestic. Well, mine's going to be majestic, and theirs are going to be very delicate and beautiful. But yeah, you will like mine more.
Okay, good luck. Good luck, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Jeremy Mercer is an Ottawa expat who lives in France. He was speaking to guest host Stu Mills on All in a Day. Sure, on Halloween, we all rave about the costumes and the candy, right? But my favorite thing is the thrill of fear. I love when the hair raises on the back of my neck or when my skin prickles into goose flesh. Now, these moments are rare, but I certainly got a shock of it when I heard this next piece. Ontario Today's Rita Celli asked Ontario listeners to call in with their ghost stories. Curtis's story was so scary that his made it into our Caller of the Week.
Well, I'm from the Kingston area, and as a music student at Queen's, I was half of a pit orchestra in just myself and another musical gentleman from Kingston, and we were doing the music for a show put on by a small theater company, but we were doing it at the Grand Theater. And there's a well-known spirit at the Grand Theater. I've heard lots of stories of different people having encounters with a gentleman named Ambrose, who was a well-known ladies' man, shall we say, in his time, and he was the original owner of the Grand Theater. And he disappeared, this Ambrose, one night on, it is said, on the way to visit his mistress in York, now Toronto, of course. In any case, I've what was happening was I was taking a friend of mine down to see the pit orchestra we had set up, this two-man band. And so we had to go to the box office to get the keys. It was during the day, so there's nothing happening in the theater. The doors to the lobby from the theater were locked, and the door, the stage entrance, was also locked. So we got the keys and went in the stage entrance. The door closed and locked behind us. And, of course, inside the theater during the day, it's pitch black. And so I knew how to make my way up to the lighting board. So I told my friend to grab my my belt at the back, and I made my way running my hand along the limestone wall to get to the lighting board. About 3 feet shy of the lighting board, I froze. My hand literally froze to the limestone wall. I was running my hand along. I couldn't move. I felt my friend's grip tighten on my belt, and we couldn't move at all, neither of us. And so as we were frozen there, we were listening. We heard the gate to the pit orchestra open, which would be to our left. It has a very distinctive squeak and clink as it opens and closes. The piano bench was pulled back. Pages of assumedly music on the piano, pages of a book, were heard turning. The book closed. The piano bench then pushed back again. The pit orchestra gate opened and closed again. And then the footsteps leading up to the lobby. And only when the noises stopped did I kind of lurch forward as my body released from this frozen state we were in. And I kind of hurriedly turned on some lights, and we went out on stage, my friend and I, and there was nobody there, but the piano bench was out. There was no music on the piano itself, and the gate was kind of had just, you know, it was still swinging a little bit from having just been closed.
Curtis.
And we went up the ramp and into the lobby to the box office and asked who had come in, and she said no one. We were the only ones who had been in or out that day.
Curtis, what were you thinking and feeling?
Well, I was pretty scared. I've never experienced anything like it before or since. Just that, you know, being frozen like that. It was really incredible. It was. I'm telling the story now, and my hair on my arms is standing up again. It happens every time I tell it. It was certainly a supernatural experience. It wasn't something that one could imagine. It was definitely a very physical and real sensation. And my buddy and I talk about it to this day and kind of shake our heads and shiver a bit and kind of go, well, yeah, that was Ambrose, all right. He was there.
Terry Boyle, do you know Ambrose in Kingston?
Yeah, I believe it's Ambrose Small, and he owned a chain of theaters, one in Kingston. He had one in London, Ontario, which is supposed to be haunted by him as well. A lot of theaters in Ontario have a lot of paranormal activity happening. In the Lindsay Theater, the actors often state that they see the spirit sitting in the audience watching the play, then they vanish in the seats and reappear during the next act. So that is quite something.
Oh, and Curtis, you know, you tell that story and how frightened you felt, and that you still don't get it. And I wonder, Terry Boyle, when you hear stories like that, and people are really terrified, I mean, yeah. What's the point? Why are these ghosts doing this? I mean, really, did Curtis and his buddy need to be that freaked out?
You know, I don't have the answers. You know, I would just suggest that, Curtis, you happen to be in the right place, you know, at the right or wrong time.
Depending on your perspective.
Yeah. And had this experience. But I would say, I think either yourself or somebody that was with you possibly was open enough that allowed that to happen. So, therefore, opening up that activity. So, you know, sometimes we don't know what we invite in or we want to see, and yet it happens to us. So maybe at that moment you're quite open to, you know, anything, and there you go, you have this incredible experience.
That was Westport resident Curtis with his super creepy ghost story. He was speaking to Terry Boyle, the author of Haunted Ontario Revisited, and Rita Celli, host of Ontario Today. You're listening to Ontario This Week. I'm your vampire podcaster, Michael Bardwaj. If you have any of your own ghost stories, email me at ontariothisweek@cbc.ca.
Okay, so we're ready to go. So we'll step outside. Okay, looks good.
Okay, so you've got your bag of candy, and you're sorting through it, you know, chocolate, chips, raisins, or whatever, and more chocolate. But before you begin your annual sugar gorge, you may want to get your parents to check your stash for strange objects. You know, we've all heard about razor blades or small pins in Halloween treats, but one Ottawa chiropractor is offering a special service to reduce the chance of biting into that dangerous treat.
Okay, so we're ready to go. So we'll step outside. Okay, looks good.
He's inviting people to come in and have their candy x-rayed. Hallie Cottenham visited his clinic with her pillowcase in hand. She brought the story to Kathleen Petty on Ottawa Morning.
You took your bag of candy to this clinic. The fact that you actually have a bag of candy is perhaps of some concern.
Well, I had some candy, but I had to buy more. And, you know, I needed something real for this field experiment. So I arrived at this office, sack in hand, waiting for my appointment. And while I was sitting in the waiting room, I noticed the clinic had a bowl of apples and granola bars out for, you know, offered up to patients of the clinic. And I thought I needed to sort of have some real variety in my bag of candy. So I borrowed a few of their treats when no one was watching. And, you know, I just wanted to make this interesting, this experiment.
Okay. Did you find or did you put anything nefarious in your candy?
Well, I may have or I may not have, Kathleen. I don't want to ruin the story. So I was waiting there. Dr. Khalid Mankel came out, and here's what happened next.
So can we head into your office?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I brought a bag of candy.
Oh, well, wonderful.
Yeah.
So this is the x-ray room.
Okay. So this is a real x-ray.
This is a real x-ray. So we have a cassette, and we put the bag on top.
Okay.
We set the factors, take the picture, put it to the developer, and any metal in the candy at all will come out on the picture.
Okay, here it is.
Okay, so we'll set it up here.
Now, what would you normally be using your x-ray machine for?
Taking pictures of spines.
Okay.
Turn it on here.
Oh, I guess I better get out of here then.
Well, I'll set the factors first.
Okay. What is this you're doing?
We're setting the factors for the picture so that the picture comes out appropriately.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll just set it up here. Okay, so we're ready to go. So we'll step outside.
All right. What is the name to describe how much x-ray power?
Millirankins.
Okay.
Millirankins. Very minimal for these candies. Okay, looks good. Okay, so you got to give me a few minutes to go through
sure.
The developer,
okay.
And then we can see.
All okay. Right. I'm going to wait out here. Fewer millirems. Hi. I'm having my candy x-ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Another minute, we'll get the results.
All right.
Do I get the candy and the munchies or no?
Well, yeah. We'll see. You might not want it after this x-ray.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see where it's at now.
The information from the x-ray.
Yeah, not yet. I haven't got it yet. It's coming out the processor.
Okay.
Another minute or so here.
So while we're waiting for the x-ray to come through, have you had any experience with trick-or-treating?
Myself? Oh, lots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the trick-or-treater.
Yeah.
I was the big bag of pillowcases and being out till 9 o'clock. The worst ones for people, actually.
Yeah. The guys that got taller than the people giving out the candy?
That's right, yeah exactly.
So any bad experiences when you used to trick-or-treat?
I don't think there was for me. How about for you?
No. Okay. But I think my parents check my candy.
Yes, I think most parents do. Sometimes things, if someone's going to be intentional and try to do something, it may not be always found. Mm-hmm. So.
Thus the x-ray.
There seems to be every Halloween here something.
So you're looking, you're holding the x-ray up to the light.
Okay, let me put it on the view box. We'll see a better visual.
Okay.
All right.
This is one of these backlit screens that you see on ER or in medical offices.
Exactly. Okay. We definitely see some water-dense stuff. What do you have in that bag? You have some apples?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. I can see the outline of some apples. I can see something in through here, but it doesn't appear to be anything metal in this one.
So should we pour out my candy bag and have a look?
Let's have a look. Well, nothing overtly, as I can see.
Nope.
Nothing overtly, unless you stuck it somewhere.
No, I didn't.
Wonderful. Hopefully they're all like that.
Now, one quick question, though.
Yes.
One of the things that was in my candy bag that I thought might cause you a problem was this. This is a foil-wrapped granola bar.
Okay. And I can see some edges in through here, but there's nothing like a metal, per se. Like, because that would have... We tried this out the other day with a paper clip inside, and actually showed it very clearly. So we actually put a paper clip in a bag, and we actually took a picture, and it came over.
Can you show me that X-ray?
Yeah, just let me see where.
So I'm relieved.
Let me put where Tina put it. Let's see where we can find it.
Here, yeah, it's in with the box from the other one.
Okay. All right, so this is
Yeah, so there it is.
Oh.
There.
Very clearly, you can
clear
see the
whistle. Yeah, right there.
Line of a paper clip.
Right, exactly.
So even if that paper clip had been inside the apple, you would still see it.
It would still come out. Exactly.
So what happens if 200 kids show up?
Then we'll have to bring some sleeping bags. So we'll see. They should probably call ahead to let know. We need to know when they're coming so we can make some time to make it happen. So if that happens, that's the way it works, and we'll look forward to it.
Is this good PR for your office?
Well, I guess it would be. But, I mean, if it is, great. If it's all for the kids anyway. So, again, there seems to be every year somewhere you hear about something somewhere. And I just didn't want it happening in my community if I could prevent that.
Do you have kids of your own?
I have three.
Are you going to be X-raying your kids' bags of candy?
I certainly will.
Okay, so Hallie, there was nothing for him to be concerned about except for maybe some stolen fruit and granola bars.
I put that stuff back in the bowl right away. No, there was nothing metal in my candy as the X-ray proved.
So do we know how many parents are expected to show up this morning, assuming that they were actually able to wrestle those bags of candy from their kids' fingers?
Well, we don't know how many parents will go, but the office had received a few calls already by the time I showed up. And there was this tiny PSA advertisement in the Sun. But I wanted to know how parents felt about this offer to X-ray candy, so I just headed outside to ask. Here is a sample of the responses I received.
I think that's off the wall, because if people are buying their candy out of a grocery store, why would they worry about the candy? I think it's a lot of urban legends is being pushed too much by people doing stupid things like that, because we got kids that have enough stuff to be afraid of in this world today. Let's have some fun on Halloween and stop all the scare tactics and stuff.
I think it's kind of pitiful that our society's come to the point where we have to X-ray children's candy. I know there's been incidents in the past of pins and whatnot in the candy, but I think we've reached the ludicrous point of political correctness to actually X-ray candy.
Do you have kids?
Grown children, yeah.
Did they trick-or-treat?
Yes, they did. And they actually got some pins in one. It was years ago, but...
But this has actually happened to your family.
Yeah, but it didn't upset me because the pins were visible.
So you discovered the pins when you searched through their candy?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was fairly obvious what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it might have even been other kids doing it, you know?
That's urban legends, my dear. There's nothing in kids' candies. Come on now. Christ, come on, give me a break. You want to know what happened? I'll tell you. They started, I think it was kids that started that, because they didn't want any more apples being handed out. You see, they wanted the chocolate.
That was field reporter Hallie Cottenham. She was speaking to Ottawa Morning's Kathleen Petty. Well, I'm just about to snuff out the pumpkin candle. Thanks for listening to this special post-Halloween episode of Ontario This Week. If you have any tricks or treats yourself, send them my way at ontariothisweek@cbc.ca or check out other podcasts at cbc.ca/podcasting. I'm Michael Bardwaj. I'll catch you next week.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.